Psalm number 412. On that first verse.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host aflame. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
On the third,
like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
On the last,
onward then, ye people, join the happy throng. Let voices in the triumph song, glory, laud, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Amen. Great singing. Let's open the service in a word of prayer, shall we? Father, thank you for this wonderful and beautiful day that you're giving us. Thank you for being able to come to church, Lord, but especially two times in one day, be able to hear your word. It was good preaching to, this morning, Lord, and waiting for the message tonight. Lord, I pray that you please be with the preacher to come, and may we be attentive to your word, and may he be filled with your Holy Spirit, and especially may our singing glorify you as we prepare for the preaching. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Song number 36, Christ Arose. It's not that Jesus died. He had to raise from the dead for us to have eternal salvation. Amen. Psalm number 36, Christ Arose. On that first verse.
Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with the mighty triumph of his soul. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. his bed. Jesus, my Savior, faithfully they seal the dead. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph of his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Alas, death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph of his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Great singing.
All right, great singing. Welcome to First Works Baptist Church. Just a few announcements here before we sing our next song, which will be song number 145, It Is Well With My Soul, if you want to get that ready in your songbooks, 145. Of course, we welcome you to come back to our Thursday evening service, 7 p.m. That is our Bible study. We're currently going through the book of John. We'll be in John chapter 4 this coming Thursday. So we hope to see you then. You see the soul winning times and teams. Of course, today was the birthday breakfast, and so happy birthday to you all. In the month of August, you have the list of expecting mothers. Keep them in prayer. And then the stats for salvations and baptisms for the month of July. We had a great month there. On the right-hand side is the upcoming church events. We have the ladies' prayer breakfast coming up on Saturday, August 9th, meeting at the building at 10 a.m. Ladies, I want to encourage you to participate in that. If you have any questions, you can talk to Miss Janelle Gonzalez. She's the one who heads that up. And so that'll be on August 9th. TJ Missions Trip will be on Saturday, August 30th, leaving the building at 9:15 a.m. And that's once a month, of course. And just make sure you bring your passport, coordinate with Brother Hernandez. And even if you don't speak Spanish, we had a couple non-Spanish speakers come with us as silent partners. They got to participate in the soul winning. And so if you're interested in that, just make sure you talk to Brother Hernandez. Men's Prayer Night will be on Friday, September 5th. And then the church anniversary will be on Sunday, September 14th. We'll give you more details as far as what we're going to do on that Sunday as we approach that day. Just want to remind everybody, parents, please make sure you watch your kids, that they're not playing around the construction site right here. This will probably be finished by this coming Thursday. And so just bear with us for a little bit, but watch your kiddos. Make sure they're not playing around that. There's some rubble there at the bottom that they could potentially get hurt in. And so, and if they do get hurt, don't sue us, because that's not very Christian of you to do that. All right? Now we'll preach against you. Please silence your phones during the preaching so as to not be a distraction during the service. I do want to mention, I'm not preaching tonight. Brother Maury's going to be preaching tonight, Brother Maury Lemons. So we're excited about that. It's going to be great. And with that being said, song number 145, It Is Well With My Soul.
Song number 145, It Is Well With My Soul. Very powerful song. On that first verse.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul.
Song number 145 on the second.
Though Satan should buffet, Though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has begun. My helpless is faith and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not impart, but the hope is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul, with power on the last. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
Great singing. As the ushers come forward for the offering, please turn your Bibles to Psalm 73. Psalm 73.
Good evening. Tonight we're in Psalm 73. Psalm 73, the Bible reads, "Truly God is good to Israel, even as such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and portion of forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-hoarding from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." Let's pray. Dear Lord God, just thank you for this evening we have, Lord, to hear the preaching of your word, Lord. We pray that you bless Brother Maury right now as he preaches your word unto us, Lord. Just please fill him with the Spirit, Lord, and give him boldness. And give us in the congregation ears to hear, Lord. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Good evening, everyone. Obviously, it's always a blessing for me to come up and have the opportunity to preach to you guys. It may not be a blessing for you, but it's going to be a blessing for me. Amen. All right. So we're there. Look down in your Bibles at verse number 11, and it says, "And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world and increase in riches. And verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God and understood I their end." So this is a portion of the text. And actually, before I start, I actually want to thank Pastor Mia for letting me have the opportunity to preach it. Like I said, it is a blessing, and I pray that this is a blessing to you too. But as we're hearing this text here, we see something that all Christians at some point that have served the Lord to a certain extent, they come to this realization where it's like, man, I'm serving God. You know, I'm living righteous. I'm doing things. And we just see the wicked people of this world prospering. We see the, you know, if you will, the celebrities of the world getting all the things that we want, right? And we have this, we lose our biblical perspective, our understanding that that, you know, ultimately they have their day, but as Christians, we know the end. And so the purpose of the sermon is to give us an understanding that, you know, sometimes we lose our biblical perspective, and we end up regaining our biblical perspective when we come into the house of God. And so we don't get it through scrolling on Instagram or social media, and we don't get it from social media influencers, but we get this from the house of God. And we get our perspective, our biblical perspective, where from the house of God. And over the past couple weeks, or actually I'll say over the past couple months, Pastor Mia has preached sermons that kind of hit the topic that I'm getting at right now, where he preached a sermon where he talked about the distinctives of the of what type of church we are, that we're an independent, fundamental Baptist church teaching us that basically the things that makes us distinct from like other Christians, so that we're KJV only, you know, that we're hard on soul winning, we live sanctified lives. But then he also kind of tuned in a little bit, and he preached a sermon where he went in detail of not only just that we're independent fundamental Baptists, but we're new independent fundamental Baptists, which obviously I'm not going to rehash his points, but he preached that sermon to show like the distinctives that we have as a church. And so tonight, you know, I want to address a topic on what the actual blessings of a local New Testament church are. So in the past, we've all heard sermons about what kind of church we are, or we've heard that sermon where what type of church we are, what kind of members we ought to be, how should we conduct ourselves in the house of God. So what does this place actually offer for you spiritually speaking? All right, what does this place offer you spiritually speaking? Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3. So that's why today I want to preach on the blessings of the local New Testament church, the blessings of the local New Testament church, because if you are part of this church, you understand that this is a soul-winning church. You understand that this is a Bible-believing church. We're sound on doctrine. We take pride in the Lord. We take pride in the things of the Lord, and these things we hold in high regard. Why? Because ultimately, the important thing to understand is that church is where we get spiritual blessings from the Lord. Church is where we get a chance to spiritually grow. 1 Timothy chapter 3, look down at verse 14, it says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." So what is church? Well, the church is not necessarily a building. It's built among the people that are in the church. And the church building is not, you know, it's not my home. It's not your home. The church is the house of God. And this is the church of the living God. We don't believe that this is a dead institution that as the religions out there where they have a dead institution, stale traditions, and ultimately, there's no power. And religion, the goal is to not ultimately have where our church is not powerless by it's propped up by the culture, excuse me. And so this is not the religion of the Philistines. This is not the Muslims. You know, this is not a man-made ordinance of going to church, but this is the house of God. And so these dead churches don't have anything to offer you. These churches out here don't have anything of substance to give you when it comes to spiritual matters. And so the Bible says that this right here is where we should be. This is the place that we go. This is the pillar and ground of the truth. And this is where we ought to be Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Thursday evening. Why? Because this is the house of God and this is where we need to be. We hold the truth. This is a place where the truth is held up high. And that when we live this world that we live in, we have to understand that this world is fading away. It's being destroyed. And we need to understand that when we step into this building, that this is not just like a lecture hall. This is not where you come and you just get a TED talk and pastor comes and tells you, "You're so great. You're so amazing. We love you. God loves you. God's not angry with you." But this is a place where you hear the truth. Right. And that's very important. This is not a social gathering, although we do socialize. Right. When we're here, when we're in the sanctuary of God, we got to understand that we have to be grateful for the things that we do have. And so we need to be grateful for the fact that we actually do have a church, because there's places, there's locations in America, there's locations in the world where they just don't have a church. Right. And we have to be grateful for the fact that, hey, you have a Bible believing church. You know, we have a good thing here. Amen. And, you know, it's not by accident. We're all here. We all came from different walks of life, and somehow we're all here. So that's obviously through the providence of God. And so what I want to address this evening is the blessings that a Christian gets from plugging into a local New Testament church. God restores. He gives us restoration by coming to church. He gives us various strengths, but he blesses his people as well. So tonight I want to show you four blessings that we receive by being part of the local New Testament church. First and foremost, the first blessing that we get from the local New Testament church is sight. This is where Church gives us spiritual clarity. Church gives us spiritual clarity. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 73 and hold your place there because we're actually going to be there. We're going to go back and forth. Psalm 73. The first blessing is of the local New Testament church is that we receive sight, meaning that there's spiritual clarity. In this world full of confusion and disorder and where we see things like the righteous are perceived as evil and the evil are perceived as good, you think of like the ditties of this world where, you know, nothing seemingly bad is going to happen to him per se. Or let's just say obviously I believe he actually got convicted. But there's people out there that have done things like OJ where he kind of just got off scot-free because he had money. And so evil is called good and good is called evil. And, you know, if we listen to this world, what can happen is we see what's going on in the world and we can kind of see like, hey, we have a distorted view of faith on like how things work out in our lives and the lives of the wicked. And this is exactly what what happened to Asaph in Psalm 73. Look down at verse 2. It says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Go down to verse 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. And we see Asaph here, he's on the verge of backsliding, right? And so he's not going to backslide because he doesn't believe in God. It's not that he doesn't trust on the Lord, but we need to understand that his vision was clouded. And so what we get from coming to church is that we get our sight back to us. We have it restored from the foolishness of this world. And so the way he felt was that, hey, man, you know, like, why is the wicked surviving? Why are the wicked having good things happen to them? I'm serving God. I'm living for God. I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm getting sin out of my life. But somehow, you know, blaspheming Bill over here is just, sorry, not you, Bill. blaspheming Bobby over here is over here getting the raises. He's getting the promotions. He's getting the recognition. When I'm over here serving you, Lord, why can't I? Why? He has this perception that God was unfair. That God was unfair. But, and that's a big word there, right? But he walked into the sanctuary of God. And then his perspective was changed. So how does church give us sight? Well, one way is confusion is clarified. Confusion is clarified. And church is where we come to church ultimately so that we can see clearly. Meaning that everything makes sense, or when you look at the world, you understand that the Bible actually brings clarity. It blocks the confusion for the things that we may perceive as unfair in the world. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I read Psalm 119, verse 104. It says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. When we read God's word, or when we go to church and God's word is preached and taught, what we understand is that we get understanding from his word. We get understanding from his precepts, from his teachings. Look down at verse 33. It says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. And so church is the place that you should get a clear answer. And when it comes to certain doctrines, we should be able to have a clear answer, right? We should have a clear answer when it comes to salvation, right? When it comes to salvation, you just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And so there's churches out there, there's people out there in the world that just don't have a clear answer. And so I was giving the gospel to this guy on Omi TV. I spent 5 minutes trying to figure out what he actually believed to go to heaven. So he's like, oh, you have to do this. I'm like, oh, is it possible to go to heaven and not do that? Well, yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, if you do this. And we just went back and forth. And I'm just like, what do you believe? We just had to cut the conversation because he believed everything. Confusion is not something that should be present in church. And we don't have secret doctrines either. Where I forget, it's like the Mormons, they have like this secret doctrine about the special underwear. Is that the Mormons or is that Jehovah's Witness? Okay, Mormons. Yeah, so they have like the secret doctrines, you know, and they have all these things like you don't get this truth until you're ready. You're in there, brother. You know what I mean? But What we see is that confusion should never come from church. And I believe that our church is a great church. We don't have that issue where, you know, when Pastor Mia gets up here, everyone's like, what the heck? What did he say? What did he mean by that? Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. It says, So they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense. And let me just stop here for a second. We need more churches that are willing to give the sense. Amen. We need more churches to go out there and preach God's word and teach God's word. And we need more people to proclaim the word of God. Why? Because nobody has any sense. Nobody has any sense when it comes to just doctrine and just various teachings. Like people just don't understand what the Bible says. But, oh, wait a minute. It's the reason why is because they're saved. They're not saved. Excuse me. Nehemiah chapter 8:8, it says, so they read the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand. So we need more understanding in this world. We need more people to preach and teach. And you don't get this kind of clarity, understanding from isolation, right? We don't get this kind of clarity from YouTube or TikTok or, you know, name the political party. We get this clarity in the house of God. We get this clarity in the sanctuary of the Lord. So how does the church give us sight? Well, it causes confusion to be clarified. But then we also see that the church gives us sight by having our perspective restored. Turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. What we see here is that Asaph, when he went into the house of the Lord, the sanctuary of God, he no longer compared lifestyles with those of the wicked. So he didn't compare himself amongst the wicked people, the evildoers. What he did was he started remembering the fact that eternity has its place. And not only that, but that their end is nigh, and that their end will come, and destruction is coming for them. And so church allows us to be able to stop thinking horizontally and think vertically. Stop thinking 2D, but start thinking 3D. Thinking spiritually minded, thinking about the eternity. What do we, our efforts in how we live our lives, how is that going to affect the afterlife? Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17, it says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. And you know, it's normal, I would say, to a certain extent, for us to kind of envy certain people. It's like, why are they getting the things that I want? You know, why is this guy, you know, this guy didn't even like God. He hates God. He blasphemes God. And why is he getting blessed and I'm getting cursed? And I believe that this is normal to kind of have that thought, but wait a minute, you have to come into the house of God to get the understanding. You got to come into the house of God to make the sense. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8 says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. What am I saying? We need to stop thinking about today and start thinking about tomorrow. We need to stop thinking about tomorrow. We need to start thinking about eternity. Amen. Why? Or what's an illustration of this where we see that this is an issue where there's young people that just have like a desire to like get married really quickly. Like, man, I'm 18. I'm going to get married. First woman that says I love you, I'm going to say I do. Amen. And so, but here's the thing. When you talk about marriage, this is such a huge thing. It's one of the most important decisions that you make in your life. Right? I mean, because this is, if you make a mistake, this is going to cost you until you die. We're talking about an 18-year-old. You're probably not going to die till 60, 70, right? So we're talking about, amen, God called you to singleness, brother. But here's the thing. This is the reason why we need to take marriage very seriously. Why? Because this is going to affect you for the rest of your life. This is going to affect you for the rest of your life. And so we don't want to rush into marriage. You don't want to just jump in there. It's like the first pretty girl that says, hey, hi. Then it's like, oh, will you marry me? No. Why? Because at the end of the day, you want to understand that, hey, this is a big decision. And so we don't want to rush into this. We want to think about the future. We don't want to just think about today. We want to think long term, not short term. So the decisions you make today will affect your future. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "While we look not on the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, eternal." What does the sanctuary do? What does the house of God do? It refocuses us, right? What does it do? It gives us our spiritual eyesight. It gives us our perspective on reality, on how we should live our lives and how we should conduct ourselves on a day-to-day basis, right? And so, and listen here, when you're thinking vertically, you know, we ultimately need to stop trying to seek man's appraisal, approval, excuse me. So like if you're, for wives, if you're married and your husband doesn't see every little thing that you do, hey, don't worry, God saw that. If you're in the ministry of our church and you're doing things and you're serving our people, serving the people in the church, hey, look, Pastor Mejia is not going to say thank you to every single thing because maybe he doesn't even know what you did, right? But here's the thing. You don't need to seek Pastor Mejia's approval. What you should realize is, hey, God's going to get me. God got me on that one. Why? Because here's the thing. When Pastor Mejia says thank you, hey, that's it. You got your reward, amen? But if God says thank you, you know, hey, you know, that's going to make some money, amen? The goal should not be, well, if they don't notice me, you know, I'm just not going to do anything anymore. The goal should be our perspective. The way we should view it is that, you know, the way we should view it is that as we're in the sanctuary, as we're in the house of God, we understand that God's going to see us. God's going to see what we're doing. God's going to see how we're living our lives and conducting ourselves. And we want God to be pleased with us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward in the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." So what I'm trying to say is that God sees it. And if you just think that, well, God doesn't see it, well, you just need your perspective restored. Amen. You need your eyes to be cleared because God does see when you serve, when you do these things, even if we don't see it. God's going to reward you for your efforts. God is going to acknowledge you even when you think that no one else does see. Your Bible says Job chapter 21. Job chapter 21, I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die," what we see is that, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, what we see here is that when Asaph went into the house of God, he got the understanding that, hey, the end of the wicked is going to happen. It's coming. The end of the wicked is coming, and because of that, he understands that that what we see in the Bible is that the judgment is coming right after them. So yeah, they may have their day. They have the cars. They have the money. They have the girls. They have the possessions. But wait a minute. The Bible says that you can't take these things with you, right? Job chapter 21, verse 13, it says, "They spend their days in wealth, but in a moment go down to the grave." And you know what I think of when I think of this verse? I think of like celebrities when they, you know, they have all their money, they have their possessions, they have their great feats that they've done. You know, they're as Pastor Mejia preached earlier this morning, that they have, you know, they have the levels of success. Amen. And so they have all those things that we want. But here's the thing. They go down to the grave in a moment. They go down to the grave in the moment. And celebrities do. We see this all the time with celebrities that, you know, they just waste their life away. They have everything that we think that we want to be happy. They have all that. They have the money, the cars, the girls, the possessions. They have all the things that we want, and they're still unhappy. They go down in a moment to the grave. Psalm 37, verse 1, it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb." So when Asaph went to the sanctuary, you know, we could say that he was a very emotional person at this point, right? So he was a very emotional, you know, what happened was he didn't get his understanding sharpened just yet. The reality of the judgment that comes from behind the pulpit, the reality of the rewards that comes from behind the pulpit, the reality of not having the understanding, the accountability that's going to come into view. So suddenly the wickedness, when he went into church, he realized that, hey, you know what? Maybe it's not that great that wicked guy is getting all these blessings. maybe it's not that great that he has all these things, because look at the end. You know, there's times where, like, I made a bad decision. I'm like, man, I just wish I would have just, like, thought this through. You know what I mean? And I'm like, man, if I would have known that if I did this, this would happen, I would have never made the decision. In like manner, it's going to be the same way, because they don't understand the severity of their actions. So the church is where believers go to be renewed, to be refreshed. And we constantly hear preaching, and when you constantly hear preaching that magnifies God, when you constantly hear preaching that warns us of hell, that points you to the eternal, you realize that those little things that you kind of stumbled at, you realize that those things weren't even that big of a deal. And so what I'm saying is that we should not have the desire to live just for the weekend, just live for today, but we should live for eternity. Because once the fog clears, we realize that the prosperity of the wicked will come. We understand that the path of the righteous is actually worth it. Because Asaph was questioning that. Hey, is it even worth serving you if you're just going to treat me like this? And we see multiple people in the Bible where they go through this, where they're just like, man, I just feel like I can't do anything. Like, I'm not getting anything from you. You're against me. But wait a minute. Is he really against you, or is he putting you through a trial? But the reality is that, hey, at the end of the day, God is on your side. And you don't get this clarity from Instagram. You don't get this from binge watching Netflix or going on any social media influencer. You get this where? In the house of God. So what does the church do for you? It brings back reality. And not only that, but when you have the word of God being preached, the fog that comes over your mind from being in the world, what happens is Pastor Mia is like rubbing all that fog away. He's washing your brain. He's washing your eyes, right? Proverbs chapter 7 verse 4 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And so what our goal is that we should just have a desire to get understanding, right? We should have the desire to learn about God. We should have a desire to come to church. We should have a desire to have the word of God wash us and renew us every service that we possibly can. Amen. So when you're rooted in the local New Testament church, it's not only about instruction, it's not only about information, but it's also where we get illuminated, where we get indwelled with God, and you don't get this teaching, or you don't only just get teaching, you actually get the sight as well. So we're talking about the blessings of the local New Testament church, and we see that the first blessing is the fact that he gives us sight from being in church, but he also gives us strength as well. Strength for being in the local New Testament church. And what do I mean by that? He renews our spirit. So by coming to church, our spirit is renewed. So once Asaph saw things clearly, what happened next? He got his strength back. He got his understanding back. And so you see, when your emotions are off, your thinking is wrong too. And your emotions are also out of whack when you're in this position. Because he was very emotional. He's like, woe is me. But, you know, once he got into the church, he was like, oh, that's not even that big of a deal. So once the truth was restored, his strength came back. And Asaph went from almost backsliding in verse 2 to in 28 being, or excuse me, 26 being strengthened again. Are you there? If you're there in Proverbs 73, look down at verse 26. It says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You know, that happened in the sanctuary. That didn't happen when he was on vacation. That didn't happen when he was going out and hanging out with the Philistines. That didn't happen when he was in isolation. That happened when he was in the house of God. So how does going to church cause us to, or gives us strength within our spiritual life? Well, one reason is that worshiping recharges the spirit. Worshiping recharges the spirit. And so when we come together as a church, we lift our voices up as a church, and we sit under preaching here, what happens is that our spirit is lifted because of the presence of God in church. This is not a TED talk. This is not necessarily entertainment, although it can be entertaining. Preaching is not necessarily a form of entertainment. Pastor's not coming up here and just like, hey, man, there's a Jew and a black guy walked into a bar. You know? No, he's not doing that. And the reason why is because he's not a stand-up comedian. He's a preacher. Right? He's not coming up here just like, hey, man, let me just tell you some jokes instead of the Bible. No, he's coming here because he has a job. He's coming in here because he understands that we need to worship the Lord. And he knows what he needs for us because the Bible says that he watches for our soul. Now, obviously, you know, church is for worship. But when you come to church, you have to understand that this is where the Spirit and truth is. And because we're hearing the Word of God, it revives us as we're going throughout our week. And, you know, we all have those days where, you know, we don't want to come to church. You're in a bad mood. You know, I was kind of like that this morning. No, I'm joking. But... Right. But here's the thing. Sometimes we come to church and we're in a bad attitude. Sometimes we come to church and, you know, it wasn't a great morning. All the kids got a spanking. Right. And that's why sometimes when people come to church and they're tired and they're single, you know, I'm like flabbergasted. I take that offensive. Yeah. When you don't have anything, you're like, man, I'm just tired. I'm like, of what? From what? Oh, full night of sleep? You got too much sleep. I take that offensive, so don't ever tell me you're tired, because I'm just like, look, I got four little ones, and I'm just telling you right now, if you ever tell me that, I'm not going to slap you in the face, but I'm going to think about it, amen? But I come to church sometimes, not necessarily in right spirit, but what happens? I come to church, and then I start hanging out with the brethren. We start roasting someone. We start hanging out with each other. You know, maybe I'm in the conversation. I don't want to talk, but you know, we're getting on brother so-and-so. I'm like, yeah, get him. That's reviving my spirit. I'm serious. That's reviving my spirit. Cause I'm like, man, you know, I don't have it that bad. Cause at least I didn't come to church and get roasted. Come on, TJ. That revives my spirit. And maybe it doesn't for you, but it does for me. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." We should have a desire to be in church. Amen? We should have a desire to come to church. Psalm 84, look down at verse 40. You're not there, excuse me. Psalm 84, verse 4 says, "Blessed are they that dwell in thine house. They will be still praising thee, Selah." Psalm 122, verse 1, it says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." I pray that this is something that resonates with all of us here. And I would say I'm probably speaking to the choir, right? Because who comes to church on Sunday evening? You know what I mean? But here's the thing. I pray that this is the highlight of your week. I pray that this is the highlight. Coming to church on Sundays is the highlight of my family. Nothing's better. They're like, oh, we're going to go to church. Now my kids know the days of the week. So they don't just ask us every single day. But at one point, it's like, oh, we're going to go to church tomorrow. It's like, no, baby, we just went. Church was yesterday, so we're not going to church today. But church is a highlight, and it should be the highlight of your life. Why? Because this is where you get spiritually fed. You get your friends. That's why your friends should never be in the world. Your best friends should not. It should be one of these people here. You're like, well, I don't like any of them. Well, too bad. I'm sorry. You know, maybe go bring some of your worldly friends and bring them in here. Get them saved, obviously. Get them saved, you know. Get them saved, and now you got your best friend. He's saved, and you guys have the history, right? This should be the highlight of your week. This is the highlight of my week. John chapter 4, look down at verse 23. It says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So what do you get in here? What you get in here is not duplicated online, right? What you get in here is not something that is replicated for those that are on YouTube or Rumble or whatever social media platform that the sermon's on. You can't replicate what we get in here. You can't replicate the blessings that we get in this church. Why? Because they're not in church. And obviously God bless, you know, online preaching. That's how I was reached. That's how a lot of us in here were preached, or excuse me, reached. But here's the thing. That's not church. That's not the sanctuary of God. You know? And so those that are listening online, if there's people in this church that drive very far to come here, and there's people that are a part of our church, and I don't mean quotes, obviously they come to our church and whatnot, but they live 10 minutes away, right? How do you live 10 minutes away and you're never here? How do you live 10 minutes away and you're late? I mean, come on. Church starts at 10. If at worst, if you wake up at 9:30, you can still make it and get Starbucks. Amen. I don't understand it, but maybe that's just me. So worship ultimately is not only for God. Obviously, we do worship the Lord, but worship is also for us too. It fills our soul. It fills our spirit. It refreshes us. It redirects our mind. So when we walk in heavy, you know what happens when we worship the Lord? Our spirit is lifted. When we are tired, the Lord strengthens us. What's another way that going to church strengthens us? Well, the word fortifies our soul. What do I mean by that? It provides nutrition for us, right? So when we come here and get a sermon where Pastor Mia is preaching, you know, at an hour and a half, amen? All right. When he's preaching his sermon, here's the thing. He's feeding us. And you know what? Don't buck at the hour and 30 minutes. Don't buck at the hour and 15 minutes. Say, hey, I want more. I want more. You don't want to be a spiritual anorexic, because there's too many anorexics out there. You know what I mean? Spiritually speaking, there's too many anorexics out there. What do I mean by that? That means that they just don't feed anything. You know, where we don't go days without eating. They go months without going to church. They go months without reading the Word of God. They go months without thinking about the things of God. They go months without soul winning. Spiritual anorexics. The Word of God builds you up. It strengthens the inner man. It gives endurance to our bodies. It allows us to be able to have our spiritual battles. Gives us the stamina that we need. And even if there's physical weaknesses as well. Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 19. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 6, it says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord, God of hosts. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, you're going to Psalm 19. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the words, that you may grow thereby. So what happens when we come to church is the fact that we get a chance to get fed spiritually speaking. And we get a chance to come to church three times a week to be able to come here and get a preaching, get our face ripped off a little bit. That's why I sit in the back, so that you don't see my face actually get ripped off. But what I want you to understand is that at the very basic level, we all at one point were babes where we needed milk. And the reason why we need milk is so that we can grow thereby. So we want to grow when it comes to coming to church. We want to grow when it comes to the teaching of God's word. And so that's the reason why we need to come to church, so that we can spiritually grow. You're there in verse 19. You're there in chapter 9, Psalms 19, verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right. Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You know, this is the reason why church is vital. This is the reason why church is necessary. It's necessary for us to come to church, because when Christians do not have preaching in their lives, when Christians do not have a church that they can go to, when they don't have hard preaching that they can listen to, that Christian is not going to spiritually thrive. That Christian is not going to spiritually thrive. Well, because they have nothing that's going to support them. There's nothing giving them strength. And if you're hearing sermons where the pastor or the preacher is saying, God's not mad at you, he's never going to be mad at you, it doesn't matter what you do, he will never be mad at you. You know, it doesn't matter if you go to Sunday night service, it doesn't matter if you go to Wednesday night service, everybody gets the same rewards. That's not the type of church that you want. Because the Bible says that God is going to reward us for our effort. And if a pastor's saying that everybody gets the same reward, well, there's a problem here. right? There's a problem, because why would God tell us to work for him if he's not going to give us anything? Now, obviously, here's the thing. Let's just say hypothetically, God said, I'm not giving you anything, but you just get people saved. That's worth it, right? Just for the fact that he gave us salvation and now we're not going to go to hell. But here's the thing. God promises that he's going to give us, he's going to reward us for our labor. And so we need to take this serious. And that's the reason why you don't want to go to church. Why even serve God if that's the case? If God's not going to reward you from that perspective, why would you even serve God? You know, I can make way more money if I worked on Sundays. Why? I've had an interview. Obviously, I'm not trying to, don't feel bad for me. I've had an interview where everything went great. Hey, look, they liked me. You know, I answered all their questions. I told them, hey, I have this accolades. I can do this. I can do this. They're like, oh man, that's great. We don't have anybody that wants to do these type of things. And then I get a notification that's saying, after I told them the fact that, hey, you know, I can't work on Sundays and I can't work on Thursdays. I get a notification, sorry, you're not hired. I can make way more money, but here's the thing. What's more important, making financial gains or spiritual gains? What's more important, making a dollar or getting someone saved? Now, obviously, you can do both. But what I'm saying is that at certain times, like sometimes it's going to cost you something to be a Christian. It's going to cost you something to serve God. And we need to be willing to pay. Amen? So why serve God then? Well, because God does reward us, no matter what the pastor says. You know, although I know we have a kitchen over here, you know, what Pastor Me is doing Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Thursday evening is the fact that what he's doing is he's whipping up a sermon. And, you know, this is the kitchen right here. Actually, no. His office is the kitchen, right? So where he's whipping up the sermon, he's putting a little paprika in there, he's putting a little salt, he's putting a little seasoning, he's going to throw some vegetables in, he's like, no, just kidding, let me throw that out. Let's season it with a little more meat, amen? And so he's whipping up that sermon for you so that when he comes out here, that you're here, you're listening to the sermon. Why? Because he cares for you. Because he loves you. This is where he's going to give you, where God is going to strengthen you. Now, why does he do that? Why does he create a sermon for us? Why does he spend all this time teaching and doing all these things? Well, he has to spiritually feed us, right? And so that's what I'm trying to get across, is that we have to spiritually eat. And so he needs to be able to preach a sermon for the newborn babes, amen? But he also needs to preach a sermon for, let's just say, the more mature Christian. And so, and everything in between. So this one sermon that he preaches has to feed all of us. Amen. And so we need to consider that when it comes to coming to church, when it comes to reading our Bibles, we need to get fed at church. And here's the thing. When we go into this world and we go on social media, we see so many social media influencers, Catholics and Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, where they have all these reels and where they're spewing all this heresy and all these doctrines. Various doctrines. And you know what happens is all those people online, they're not really feeding anybody, right? You know, it's beyond meat. It's beyond Bible, because it's so far away from the Bible that it actually has nothing to do with the Bible. It's all about their heresy. Those so-called spiritual influencers, you know, they don't really care about you, right? They don't really care about you. All they care about is the likes. They want the clicks. They want the comments, boost the algorithm, right? And then they get the reward of being able to sell you a course on how to be spiritual as them. You get a chance to donate to the Israel Fund. Amen? But what they give you, if they give you anything, and obviously sometimes there's just all profit in the Word of God, so if you just quote the King James Version Bible, I mean, that's something better than nothing, right? What they're giving you is tofu. They're giving you soy milk. They're giving you estrogen-filled soy milk. But the truth is that majority of the content, if not all of it, obviously Pastor Me is on there. There's only a few. Obviously it was a joke, but there's not much online. It's all heresy, false doctrine, idolatry, heretical nonsense. And so what we need is the strong meat of the Word of God. We need the strong meat of the Word of God being preached behind the pulpit. We need this. And how do we get this? Well, we get this from obviously being in the local New Testament church. The third way that ultimately the church provides strength to us is that weakness is then exchanged for strength. Our weaknesses are exchanged for strength. And so strength in the Bible doesn't necessarily always come from the strong person, right? Because we think about Samson. Most likely the reason why Samson was the strongest man in the world was because he probably didn't look like the strongest man in the world. And so the feat was the fact that, hey, Samson probably looked like just like a regular guy, an average person. Nothing special about him, nothing great about him or anything. But what we understand about Samson is the fact that, hey, he was filled with God's spirit. He was filled with the Lord. And what happens is that when we're at church, we come in, the beautiful thing about church is when we come into church, we come in empty and we leave filled, right? We come in weak and we are then strengthened in the Lord. God allows himself to show that he's strong on our behalf. And so you don't need to pretend when you come to church that you have it all together, because you don't, right? You don't need to pretend as though you are spiritually jacked. You're some father of the faith, because you're not, right? And so you just need to bring your weakness to this place. Sit down. Allow Pastor Mia to preach a sermon. You get cooked. You say amen. And then you move on with your day. You get strengthened. You get the power of the Lord dwelling inside of you. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagle wings and shall run and not weary. They shall walk and not faint." God is going to give us our strength. He's going to give us our power. He's going to bless us with his word, but we get that from church. We get the power from God at church. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look down to verse 9. It says, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Can I challenge you guys to not necessarily think too highly of yourself and just kind of realize, ask God, hey, for my weaknesses, can you turn those into strengths for you? On the areas where I'm weak, can you be strong on my behalf so that, why? So I can get the glory, but so that you can get the glory, Lord. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Psalm 138 verse 3 says, "In the day when I cried, thou answerest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul." So we just need to ask God to give us the strength. We need to ask him to give us the ability. We need to get this strength from where being in church so that we can eat the word of God and grow thereby. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16, it says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened by his with might by his spirit in the inner man. And this is obviously, I address Samson, but you know, when the world tells you, you know, to hide your weaknesses, don't show that you're weak. And you know, to a certain extent, yeah, that's true. Like, you don't want to just walk around and it's just like a bleeding heart, right? But we take our weaknesses and God says, "Yeah, I can do something with you if you can serve me. I'll do something. If you understand that you're weak, I can do something for you." But those that are proud and puffed up, he can't use, right? Because it's going to go to their head. I'm some great one. I'm special. I'm the strongest. I'm the smartest. I'm the wisest. I'm the most good looking, which that's none of you. No, I'm joking. I got that from Pastor Mejia. Amen. So what we see is that God, if you want to be used of God greatly, well, you need to abase yourself. Because once you're abased, then God is going to elevate you. So if you want to have some prestige in church, you know, if you want prestige in church, hey, how about you just serve in the ministry? Maybe you could clean some toilets, right? And you're like, "Oh, I don't want to do that. I want to preach." Well, here's the thing. Everybody can't preach. So if you're a lady, I'm sorry, you're not preaching up here. If you're a child, if you're late, if you're a child, you're not preaching up here. And that's just the way it works, right? But finding out a capacity of how we can serve God and how we live our lives, and what we see here is that God says, bring me the weak ones and I'll make them strong. Amen. So this transaction doesn't happen, you know, from YouTube by just buying like a course or something. This transaction doesn't happen when, you know, from a political party. When we walk in the sanctuary of God, that's where God meets us. And when God meets us there, that's when he can revive us, where he can give us power. So when Asaph said, my flesh and my heart faileth, I don't believe that he was exaggerating. I believe that he was about ready to kick in the towel or kick in the bucket. One of those two, the towel or the bucket, right? And throw it in the towel. Amen. Thank you, pastor. That's why you're the pastor. And so he's about ready to throw the towel in. He was like, I'm cooked. I'm done. He was about ready to throw the towel in, but here's the thing. When he went to the sanctuary, that's where his strength was renewed. He was like, hey, you know what? Actually, I can keep going. And that's what we get from church, right? When we're in church, we come to church, we're like, oh man, the bills aren't getting paid. My wife's not listening to me. My kids don't listen to me. Everybody hates me. And you hear a sermon by Pastor Mary, hey, tell your wife what to do. Make a sandwich. I'm hungry. You heard that, Angela? Amen. Bring it up here right now. I believe he was ready to throw in the towel, but his strength was renewed. And so when we feel weak, you know, we go to church. The idea is that you go to church whenever. So when you're distraught, you go to church. When you're weak, you go to church. When you're strong, you go to church. When you're emotionally worn out, you go to church. Why? Because this is where we're going to get strength. This is where we're going to get renewed. This is where we're going to be revived. And I know I'm speaking to the choir because this is, again, who's here in church on Sunday night. There's other things you could be doing. You can go work. You can go to a barbecue. You can go to the beach. We live right by the beach, right? But you chose to be in church. And I'm realizing that this is longer than I thought. I have like 20 pages, and Pastor Mia gave me the right to say all of it. I'm joking. But ultimately, he did not say that. He told me make it 30 minutes, and I'm at 80. No, I'm joking. But here's the thing. Let me just might add, like, I did not preach my whole sermon. I'm almost out of time. But here's what I want to say. Although God can use the weak things of this world, and when we come to church, we can be weak. But let me just also add that, can you come to church on time? Am I tripping here? Am I wrong? Like, can you come to church on time? Why? Because maybe you needed that 5 minutes, right? You needed that 5 minutes that you weren't here. You know when you went to get a Starbucks instead of coming to church? You know, on time? You remember that? When it's like, oh, should I go to Starbucks? Oh, it'll be quick. And then you wait and the order's not ready. Right? You know, I think at a certain point, you should be embarrassed by walking in church late. You know what I mean? Like, you should really feel embarrassed that you're walking in church late. Why? Because this is the house of God. Can you have some respect? Do you show up to work late every day? Why are you 5 minutes late? You cannot consistently be 5 minutes late every single service. You cannot consistently be late 10 minutes every single service. The problem is that you're not prioritizing the church of God. You're not prioritizing our Lord, right? And so church is a very important thing. And here's the thing. You may need it those 5 minutes. What if those 5 minutes was the thing that you really needed? And guess what? You didn't hear it. We need church. You're not prioritizing church. And it's a priority problem. It's not a scheduling problem. So when we come to church, it strengthens us. It gives us the ability to be able to be filled with the Spirit of God. You know, we need all the minutes of the church. We need all the minutes of the sermon. Why? Well, the reason why we need it is because you don't know what you need until you need it, right? So there's times where it's just like, I've heard a sermon from Pastor Mejia. I've heard a sermon from Cody. I've heard a sermon from Marcos where they just kind of were preaching on something. And the point that I got from the sermon had nothing to do with what they said. And I was like, ooh, ow, that got me. right? And I'm like, man, like, God, obviously that has to be God. How else can my heart be pricked like that? Amen. So I still have actually two more points, but I'm just gonna wrap it up here. What I want you to understand is that church is important, and the reason why we come to church is obviously one, because we need our spiritual sight to be renewed, but we also need our strength to be renewed, for us to be revived on the inside. So, you know, church isn't just something that where you just come and get entertained, where we get preaching, but it also pumps you up emotionally. It grounds us in spirituality, and it fuels our soul. Why? To direct our heart, to direct our path, to get us through the next day. Asaph said, my flesh and my heart faileth. And look, sometimes, you know, ours does too, right? There's times where my heart, where I just look at the world, I look at things that are going on, and I kind of come to, I'm like, man, like, what can I do? I'm trying my hardest, and it's just not working. But I need to be reminded, like Asaph, where God says, hey, I am the strength of your heart and your portion forever. And that's a powerful thought. God is my strength. Amen? God is my power. God's on my side. God got my back. If you're feeling weak, disconnected, drained, the last thing that you want to do is not come to church. Right? Because nobody, obviously, actually, I won't say that. But here's the thing. When it comes to you being distraught, here's the thing. Nobody comes out when they're in this position, in this vulnerable state where it's just like, man, being by myself was the best thing ever. You know, being by yourself when you're in an emotional state is probably not the best thing. And that's the reason why I like to come to church. Because when I come to church, we start making fun of people. Lord willing, it's not me, you know. Because I just got beat up, you know, at work. And then I come here and just get beat up by the brethren. Obviously, I don't want that, right? I don't want to get beat up. But the reality is that, hey, I try my best, you know, to make sure the conversation's not about me. Amen? So we need to understand that we need to plug into church. We need to come to church. We need to dig deeper. And we need our strength. We understand that the strength of the Lord is in the church. So in conclusion, or I'll tell you guys my other points. My other point was that not only does the church give us sight, but it also gives us strength. Not only does it give us strength, but it gives us stability. Where it's beneficial to be in a stable environment, right? So we need stability within our lives. We need stability within our world. So think about, you know, I hope that this is your vision, that you guys all have children here. You know, if you're in that position, but that you grow old here. I would love to see all of you guys in 30 years. I would love to see all of you guys in 40 years, if we make it that far. Amen? The rapture might happen, Evan. Having the vision of having a long-term relationship at this church where you develop deep love, deep roots in this church. You know, obviously it may not be in this building because Lord willing, in 30 years, we're going to have our own building. Amen. Amen. We're going to have our own building. We're going to be able to have our own signs. No one's going to tell us what to do. Except for Pastor Mejia telling the kids not to run around. And making tornadoes. So it's being stable, having a place where the Bible is being preached, and we're founded on a stable foundation. We're founded on the Bible. We're founded on just the various doctrines. But then the other thing was that my last point that I was going to have is that we get support from church. And so there's times in our lives where we go through hardships. We lose someone. We lose a job. We're going through a hard situation. And what we need is not, you know, can someone, if you can rebuke or if you can debunk the 5 points of Calvinism. You know, when you're going through a hard time, you know, I'm just going to be perfectly honest. I really don't care about doctrine. You know what I mean? So if I just lost my job and you're like, hey, well, let me tell you about the end times Bible prophecy. Let me tell you about when the rapture is going to come. You know, I'm going to be like, thanks, but I don't care. You know what I mean? Because I'm hurt. And what we need and what we get from church is the fact that, hey, when you're in a depressed state, we have people here that are willing to what? Come and help you. It doesn't always have to be financial. Sometimes it's just a text. Hey, brother, love you. Hey, brother, how you doing? Is there anything I can do for you? When you know when you say that, what are you going to do, man? You know what I mean? What are you going to do at that point? But ultimately, when it comes to, but when it comes to this, what I want you to understand is that this is our support group. This is our group where, hey, look, I'm trying to grow old with you people. Amen. I want to see your grandbabies. I want my children to marry your children. You may not want that, but I do. Amen. Amen. And I want my children to marry your children. Amen. And we're going to be in-laws. Amen. We are going to be in-laws. We're going to be having lunches, or not lunches. You're going to have Thanksgiving turkeys. Amen. And all that good stuff. So what do I want you to take away from this sermon? Or I'm going to read Psalm 92, verse 13. It says, those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. What's the takeaway? I want you to get planted in this church. I want you to get plugged into this church. I want you to get the blessings of the local New Testament church. Because this is not just an event. And I know that we got the lights, we got the AC, we have the food, we have the coffee, we have all this stuff. But this is not an event. This is not an event. This is a lifeline. This is our sanctuary where we get a chance to be with God and we get a chance to be with our brothers as well. And so this is why you should never miss church. Obviously it happens, but your spirit should be, hey, I go to church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Thursday evening, every day for the rest of my life. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for allowing us to be able to have this sermon here. And Lord, I just pray that that just your truth was given in this sermon. And Lord, I just pray that that you were able to use me in a way that it would glorify you. And Lord, I just pray when it comes to the points that I had about having the sight and that we have the strength, Lord, and that we're stabilized, Lord, by being in church. Lord, I just pray that you're able to work in our lives, work in our hearts, and remind us the truth, the perfect truth about coming to church, the sanctuary, the house of the Lord. And Lord, we just pray that we go closer to you and thank you for the fellowship to follow. We love you. Pray this in your name. Amen.
Number 192. Psalm number 192. On that first verse, ring the bells of heaven, there is joy today for a soul returning from the wild. See the Father meets him out upon the way, welcoming his weary wandering child. Glory, glory, how the angels sing. Glory, glory, how the loud harps ring. This a ransom army like a mighty sea, pealing forth the anthem of the free. Ring the bells of heaven, there is joy today, for the wanderer now is reconciled. Yes, the soul is rescued from his sinful way, and is born anew a ransomed child. Glory, glory, how the angels sing. Glory, glory, how the loud harps ring. 'Tis the ransom army like a mighty sea, pealing forth the anthem of the free. On the last, ring the bells of heaven, spread the peace today. Angels welcome, triumphant strain. Tell the joyful tidings, bear it far away. For a precious soul is born again. Glory, glory, how the angels sing. Glory, glory, how the loud harps ring. 'Tis the ransom army like a mighty sea, pealing forth the anthem of the free.
Great singing, your artist, man.